Get up, move out, time to go. The drill sergeant's voice abruptly brought me back. We marched silently to the ridgeline and ended up in a gigantic concrete trench. Flares shooting in the air were signaling each platoon's departure into the enormous sand pit. When my time came, I climbed the wall of the trench to find myself among hundreds of soldiers crawling in the sand. The live ammunition was flying low, marking the air with a bright laser light like miniature spaceships. I was terrified to the bone. The first several yards were called the low crawl, under the thick barbed wire where I was merely dragging my face on the ground. I wasn't able to look up and verify if I was going in the right direction. Suddenly the earth beneath me trembled, throwing my whole body a couple of inches up in the air. The noise was atrocious despite my earplugs. Apparently I passed by the artillery simulator, which certainly felt real. I gasped in disbelief. The live bullets just above my head made me think that even the smallest mistake would cost me my life or a horrible injury. Don't look up, taste the sand. It's better than taste of blood, I was saying to myself. My imagination was fruitless. I could see my helmet flying off my head after getting shot, then my brain exploding into pieces. Stay low, don't look up, just keep moving forward, wherever it leads. I kept repeating to myself like a prayer. Eventually the low area ended and everything became rather chaotic. Soldiers in front of me were speeding up, kicking the sand in panic, trying to get out of this pit as fast as possible. I could finally use my elbows and knees more efficiently and didn't mind the sand in my face and boots and rifles bouncing off my Kevlar. My only focus was to stay low, avoid getting shot, and definitely get to the end on my own. For several minutes, which dragged like hours, I couldn't even see the end of this commotion. In my mind, I was going through the images from the TV program 2020, describing this experience of basic training soldiers. At this moment, I knew that there was no theatrical tricks in this program. I also thought that this must have been how the troops felt on Omaha Beach in Normandy during the 1944 invasion. It seemed like the end line was disappearing on me. My aching body was refusing to move, but there was no place for weakness. I continued and eventually reached the dirt, which felt refreshing compared to the sand. The last log to cross seemed in my tired mind like a building. I dragged my ragdoll body over it and collapsed on the other side. I barely stood up and immediately went towards the buses. I needed a few moments to process this crawling on the beach. As I stood there shaking, my brain was still spinning in survival mode, adrenaline rushing through my body. Eventually, I escaped from my trance, dusted off my uniform, and removed the sand from my helmet. Once on the bus, I reached into my cargo pocket for my notebook, now completely yellow and covered with sand, which became my ultimate souvenir from the basic training. I was riding through the rest of the trip despite my shaking hands, exhaustion, and cold. We arrived at the camp after midnight. The last few hours of the night we spent wearing the anti-chemical MAP mission-oriented protective posture suits, protective gear used in a toxic environment. In fact, in the morning a thick white tear gas fog covered the entire area, and we had no choice but put on the pro-masks. But that was okay with me, because I already had gotten used to the mask and the MAP suit was providing an additional layer of comforting warmth. The last day in the woods was passing by quickly, as we swept the camp clean and covered all fighting positions with dirt, without regret. While eating my last MRE of the day, I was admiring the most exotic sunset ever. The majestic, perfectly round golden-red circle was hanging on the horizon. I thought perhaps Alec was seeing the very same sun as he drove home from work. Perhaps at home the last few gleams of the sun were coming through the half-shut blinds, creating a combination of light and shade stripes throughout the living room. And maybe our dog Schnurek was enjoying this afternoon sun, lying on one of the sunny stripes. Or maybe he was just sitting on the couch by the front window, waiting for Alec to pull into the driveway. But I was here, in the woods, and just like the last day of the Victory Forge, something was definitely coming to an end. The rush was over. The only thing left was the nocturnal march to the base, our home away from home. I couldn't help the uneasy feeling of conflict in my heart. Part of me was enchanted by the innocent beauty of the forest and the powerful nature around me. I was fascinated and excited by the soldier's fairy tale, which I was living to the deepest extent of its every detail. The smell of the gunpowder, flares at night, moisture of dirt on my uniform, and never-ending sounds of the battle. On the other hand, I felt anxiety that this long rock march home could break me down. I joined a few girls from my platoon, and for a couple of minutes I listened to their conversations about homemade pies. We all wanted to be home just like the soldiers returning from war with victory. Talking about pies made this home just a bit closer. I could only imagine how nice it would be to have this 12-mile march behind me and see the lights on the dark horizon at the end of the road. Before I knew it, the memories of the day were gone and we were marching in silence, scattered on both sides of the road. Again, surrounded by complete darkness, we had the moonlight and stars as our guides. In my mouth, I felt a bitter taste of the sand as it became part of me these days. Around midnight, I noticed a familiar shape on the side of the road. It was a shooting range. This meant that we were getting close to the end. The entire formation accelerated as if we wanted to get it over with. However, our drill sergeants decided to take a shortcut, which took us in a completely unknown direction, and which afterward came out to be an extension to our road march. Apparently, our counterpart company was struggling, and drill sergeants didn't want our group to finish first, so we had to make the extra mile, literally. On this alternative route, I was completely lost and I couldn't tell how far from the end we were. Suddenly, a monstrous hill grew right in front of me. Despite my disbelief, I leaned forward and climbed it while biting my teeth and using my hands to support the rest of my body. It was hard. In my mind, this was the last thing I did in my lifetime. At the top of the hill, the drill sergeant told us to form up in the original non-scattered formation. I moved up to the front, struggling to see above the heads of soldiers in front of me. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw a barely visible row of lights far in front of me in the background of the dark large structures looking like buildings. We fixed our uniforms and Kevlars, aligned the lines and columns of the formation, and took a breath before the last stretch of the march. With the song on our lips, we marched proudly home from the Victory Forge, the conclusion of basic training. And the army goes rolling along, never sounded more meaningful and clearer, and never made more sense than this very night. We wanted to wake everybody up on the base and let them know that we came with victory. When we reached the barracks, everything around seemed so dear, and I realized how much I missed these buildings. We set aside our equipment and formed up for the last time to move in the front of the company building for the conclusion ceremony. As we marched towards the front, I heard the military songs blasting through the outdoor speakers. The US, Army, and Regiment flags were proudly posted in the center in full lights. The battalion and company officials were there on the podium, waiting for us. After several speeches about the tradition of our regiment and countless achievements of soldiers for whom the victory started here, we received personal tags with the Army values: loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. This was our rite of passage. We officially carried on the mission of the heroes from the Saving Private Ryan motion picture. Then the company commander congratulated each of us individually. I took the elevator and found myself on the 10th floor. I was hoping to get the same room I had before, with the sunrise view. It had been only a few weeks since I came here for the first time, yet it seems like several centuries had passed. Here I was again, at the clinic, this time because of my shin splints and a very bad blister on my heel. When I came here before, my feelings were mostly fear of the unknown and uncertainty of surviving basic training. But those disappeared long time ago. I was now a different person, exhausted, beaten, and relieved. This sense of the enormous accomplishment made the pain in my feet almost pleasant. This time I stayed at the clinic for one night only, until I could walk normally in my tennis shoes. Saturday morning I watched the sunset for the last time through my window on the 10th floor. Sunday morning I rushed limping from the hospital back to the barracks. I wanted to visit my little church on the hill, where 10 weeks ago I was praying with all my heart for survival. Now everything was so different. The spring was finally here. Nature was well awakened from the winter frost, and the woods looked greener than ever. My heart was filled with joy and pride as I was singing in the choir with genuine passion. I felt uplifted and inspired. My last Sunday at Fort Jackson was fading in the evening breeze when I decided to donate my blood, just like I did at the beginning of my journey. As I reflected on these past 10 weeks, I realized that the big mystery called basic combat training was finally resolved. My last PT training was not typical. Since I wasn't able to run yet, I was prescribed the weight training. Our company's first sergeant ordered me to take all the fitness equipment outdoors. For the first time in my life, I was lifting free weights under an open blue sky. This reminded me of my summer days spent with Alec on her deck. He would take outside his bicycle racing equipment, rollers, and my total gym gliding bench. We would both work out right there in our backyard. It was time to stop for a moment at the landing before conquering the next flight of stairs of my transformation. Now some of the vivid recollections of my climbing struggles were behind me, yielding space for new experiences. These memories were stored deeply in my mind like building blocks of the new me. Surviving the victory forge meant crossing the point of no return. Without a doubt, after shedding my artist's wings and fragility, I finally morphed into a soldier.